Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Scott Mills on Radio 1. Lush to be back. Right, today at 5 o'clock live on this show, a bloke called Neil Strauss will be here. Some people will never have heard of Neil Strauss. Some people already consider him an absolute legend. He is the bloke who wrote the book called The Game, which we've talked about a lot on this show. Remember we tried out some of the techniques with girls and smooth talking Dan? Neil Strauss also has a new book of interviews with famous people. Do you think he's going to seduce you today, Becky?
No.
He can have any woman he wants.
Not me.
Really, though? Find out when Neil Strauss is here at 5 o'clock, the bloke who wrote The Game. Loads of blokes are now going, LEGEND!
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. Podcast.
Scott Mills back on Radio 1 and Becky's here. Hi.
Hiya.
God, I've missed you.
Missed you more.
Yes. Chris is here. Hello.
Hello.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. Yeah. You?
I didn't miss you at all, mate.
Okay.
But
that's such a man thing, isn't it? I'm like, oh my God, hiya.
Yeah, we don't do that kind of thing. We don't hug or anything really, do we?
No, we don't.
No.
Firm handshake.
Yeah. Every time.
Pat on the back.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets, a pat on the back.
Anyway, I had a nice holiday, thanks for asking.
Well, I was about to, but you went into your man chat with Chris, so yeah. I thought I'd leave it a minute. How was your trip?
It was really good. There was a couple of embarrassing things. One of them was the person that I was sharing a room with on holiday sings in the shower a lot.
Who?
You know my mate, the Britney Spears fan.
Oh, yes. Former Mr. Wales.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. And he's the one.
Not quite.
He's not only a Britney Spears fan, isn't he the one that can name
all of her perfumes?
All of her perfumes, yeah. I love him.
Well, he was singing very loudly in the shower every morning.
Britney?
A bit of Britney. Sometimes it was Leona Lewis. He sings in the shower a lot, yeah? But really, really loud. To the point where one day I went out to just get some water or something, and the whole of the 8th floor of the hotel, you could hear him going, who's that chick? Now, on day 2 of us staying in the hotel, you hear a
40 of those.
40 of those. No, it's the people next door going,
That's a hard calf muscle if it makes that noise. That is a strong calf.
It's the people next door going, could you keep it down a bit, please? So I'm like, stop singing so loud. He's like, why should I stop singing? I love singing, me. I'm like, well, the people next door don't really like it. Day after, loud singing again, first thing in the morning. 40 of those. Then they come round to the room and go, and like, hey, could you, like, stop singing so loud? Imagine, like,
Where did you go on holiday?
America.
Oh, right.
Right. So I'm obviously, you know how much I hate confrontation. I'm actually oh, God, they come round. So I hide actually under the sheets with my fingers in my ears because I can't deal with the whole thing. But apparently they said,
so you left him to confront them naked?
Well, he was the one singing.
What is wrong with you?
I hate it so much. So we nearly got chucked out of the hotel. Another thing that happened was I was at this restaurant one day and it was a family restaurant and loads of kids running around. It was lunchtime. And one of the kids came up to our table where I was sat and I was just having a tuna salad or whatever. Not a euphemism, that was an actual tuna
burger
salad.
Burger and chips.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And pie.
They had these laminated menus, you know, the ones that are laminated so you can wipe them clean.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a big menu because it's America.
Like one of those restaurants where you get the crayons in the pack.
Yeah,
for
that.
The kids, I love them.
So this is a big menu, like that big. And the kid, probably about 7, 8 years old, I think, comes over. His family are kind of across the way there on the table laughing and joking. They're like, oh, yeah, look, there's our child over there. Yeah, it's fine. And then he proceeds to hit me hard over the head with the laminated menu like this. His family aren't saying, Johnny, come back. Stop hitting that man over the head with the laminated menu. They're laughing and pointing. Now, what do you do in that situation? Because you can't go, oi, stop hitting me, because the kid is like 6, 7 years old. What do you do? I just had to sit there and take it.
So you got beaten up by a small child?
Yeah,
What about the people you were with? Did they not try and stop him?
No.
Did he know who you were?
No. I was in America. Everyone was just pointing and laughing. You just have to sit there and take it.
There's nothing else you can do.
Did Mr. Wales not step in?
No. Maybe he should have sang to it to scare it off. It.
And what happened at the end?
Scare it off.
What happened at the end?
It's not an animal, just... Scott. Sorry. It's a child.
Did he just get bored or did you, like... I want to know what happened.
It went on for at least... Well, it felt like minutes. It was probably, like, I don't know, 30 seconds. And then it just... He laughed and then and just ran off.
And you just sat there.
Well, you have to. You can't, like, do anything about it. I got owned by a seven-year-old.
Oh, well done.
I like the fact as you were telling that story, you realised, like, how bad you looked out of it. So every time you said the kid's age, it went down and down and down. So it started the kid was eight, and by the end it was, like, five or six.
No, I think... If someone's going to hit you over the head with a laminated menu in a family restaurant, it's you've probably got to be... What,
12
maximum,
and over.
No, probably 10 is the cut-off point, I think.
Well, 12's normally the limit for the kid's meal, so should we just say 12?
No, because a 12-year-old, I'd be like, oi, pack it in.
You're not going to fight back with a 12-year-old, are you?
Especially if they're eating kids' portions.
I think by 12 you could say, enough of that, all right, and then give them the eyes like that, all right, stop that. Pack it in.
You'd make a frighten anyone.
You'd make a fantastic dad, you would.
Right, imagine if you're 12, right? Imagine if you're 12.
What are you doing with your finger? That's a rubbish point.
Pack it in. The Scott Mills Daily. Now, stick with me on this. I've had a bit of an idea while I've been away. Maybe it's because I was in Hollywood. But I think that we should make a movie.
Right. Of?
Well, we've done a musical
on
stage. We've never done an actual film before. I'm thinking big screen, darling.
Just let you play your little bit of music there. Say it again, you want us to do what?
I make a film.
A proper one?
Yes.
What, like a big old Hollywood? Not like a version of, like, not like It's Chris.
No.
Like an actual big Hollywood blockbuster type movie.
Well, I don't know if it'll be a blockbuster, but I'll make it, I want to make it good and like a proper movie.
Not straight to DVD. We're talking big old script, big screen.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. Wicked.
Yeah.
I'm up for that.
Okay. So, in a couple of weekends' time, it's Radio 1's big weekend in Carlisle.
You've really thought about this.
Oh, yeah. I had 2 weeks.
I thought you were off, enjoying yourself, relaxing, not worried about where your next Hollywood...
Always thinking, always working. So what I want to make it do is make a video, like a movie, about that weekend. But not just me, I want everybody to do it. So we're going to make an actual movie, yes?
I love the way you thought we might be making a movie just about you.
No, no, no. I want everyone to be involved.
It's not just me, darling. We'll have everybody in it, all the celebs.
So it's not about you?
No.
About Big Weekend?
No, it's not just about Big Weekend, it's about that weekend. So whatever you're doing on the weekend of the Big Weekend, even if you're not there, I want you to film it.
Oh.
And this is going to be our movie, all of us together. I've always wanted to play this. Who's up for this, yes?
Right, so say if I wasn't at Big Weekend like this weekend, all I did was watch back-to-back episodes of Glee.
That's fine.
So that's what I'm filming myself watching Glee?
Yep. So have a think about what you're doing on the weekend of the 14th and 15th of May. So that's the weekend after next. If you want to be in my film, maybe you are getting married. I don't know, maybe you are... You might have a baby.
Some weekends I just eat.
Yeah, that's fine.
So do you remember that? Well, there was a mammoth one a few years back. Do you remember when I had constant barbecues? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then the next day the same.
That's absolutely
fine.
I even
had a snack barbecue, didn't I?
Yeah.
I could have filmed that.
Playing football in the park.
Yeah.
That's all good, yeah?
Having a barbecue for every meal. Maybe you will be just, I don't know, stuck in a petrol station working. Maybe you'll be...
Playing Call of Duty or something like that.
Yeah,
is that allowed?
Playing Call of Duty in just your pants.
Oh, what if you're ill and... Like, if you're ill and stuck in bed, I don't want to see any, like...
That's fine.
Oh.
It's all good, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you film anything?
Everything is allowed.
Here's me being sick, but...
No, that's fine. I want everyone to
that
be...
That could be for the horror scenes.
Yeah. I want everyone to be in our movie. So if you want to be in my film, have a think about what you're up to the weekend after next. So that's May 14th and 15th. Some people will be at Big Weekend, and the majority of people won't. So text me on 81199... with what you're going to be doing that weekend. Text me now, 81199. Give me an idea of what you're planning, and then maybe we can have you in our movie.
This is another one of your amazing ideas where you come up with it, think it's genius, and then get everyone else to do the work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like your Lady Gaga documentary. What did you do for that? You didn't. It was me, Chris, and everyone else.
My voice is on it. What do you want?
I think this is going to be epic.
Yeah. So, like, we make a movie of the summer and what we're all doing. It's kind of like, you know, a little capsule of what everyone's doing on that weekend, on the 14th and 15th of May. I'm very excited about this. I've been thinking about this all my holiday.
I know, you should go on holiday more often.
I know. So, whatever you're doing, maybe you will be, I don't know, taking your driving test. Maybe you will be going on a first date. That would be good to get videoed. I would like to see film of that.
I'd like to see film of that.
You'd have to get their permission, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I just film you? It's for my big blockbuster.
Maybe you're planning to propose to somebody, like you know, your boyfriend or your girlfriend. If you're proposing to anyone else, that'd be weird. Just let me know what you're doing on that weekend of the 14th and 15th of May. Send me a text to 81199 and give me an idea of what we can put in our Radio 1 movie. Thanks for your help.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Loads of people have been on saying they don't think that their activities for that weekend are interesting enough for the movie. Absolutely not true. Jake in Guildford says, I'll just be revising that weekend. That's not really movie material. Jake, it is. If you're just revising the weekend, I want you to be in my film.
Ollie's been on and he said that he's going to be playing Call of Duty all weekend just in his socks. That doesn't matter because I think we do have the technology to pixel bits out.
Yeah, we can pixelate. So if you're just in your socks, film it anyway.
Why did you do that? That sofa's got to be minging. Like, put a towel down.
Alison's been on. She's having a Eurovision party and barbecue. That's fine. Film it. I'm getting married on the 14th, says Hannah. Yeah, that's what I want. I'll be in Amsterdam, David from Swindon. Oh, God.
There's only so much pixeling we can do.
Is this going to be a 12 or a PG? We need to think about this. I'm going to be shaving my dog, says Jamie. Okay, fine. I'm going to be doing my first ever DJ set, says Stephen, who's at college at the moment. I want all of that. That's a really good one, actually. So just let me know on 81199 what you will be doing on that weekend of the 14th and 15th of May. It's the big weekend in Carlisle, but also, obviously, loads of other stuff will be going on all over the UK, and I want you to be part of this movie, okay? We've never done this before. I want us to make a movie about that weekend, so let me know what you're going to be doing.
Radio 1 podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Neil Strauss is here. Hi.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
No problem. Neil's name may not be familiar to some of you, but there will be men up and down the UK now going, legend! Because of a book that you wrote called The Game. And now my friend Chris here is his favourite book. He even has the audio CDs.
Yeah, mate, you're like my hero.
That's awesome, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
And I've heard, but when you had Dan on, and when Dan was using it,
have you heard about this? Smooth talking Dan.
Yeah, all my friends in the UK were calling me saying you got to call up and help this guy out.
Were they?
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, we'll play you some of Dan's technique. Well, using your technique.
All right, I'll give you a blow by blow.
Please, yeah.
Feedback on that.
So we've been talking about the game quite a lot on the show. Can you explain to us though what that is all about?
Yeah, the backstory of it is I was just a guy who never got anywhere with women. I was always the guy in the friend zone. You'd go to make the move, and you'd get the let's just be friends speech,
right.
and which is just, you know, poison the heart of a guy. And mm-hmm. I found out about the secret community of pickup artists, guys all over the world who are using these sort of techniques that were allowing them to meet women. And I kind of went undercover in that group to learn the techniques and somehow accidentally became voted like the number one pickup artist in that group after like a year of constantly going out and talking to hundreds and thousands of women.
So you got these tips from this kind of underground network.
Right. Wow. It's kind of weird. It's like a Fight Club thing.
Yeah. So no one ever talks about it, but now are you still the number one pickup artist in the world?
I'm in a relationship now.
Oh, really?
Yes, exactly. So I guess that's demoted me.
Did you use the rules of the game to get the relationship?
You know what? I completely messed myself up because once you write the book, you know, if a girl meets you, either A, she's read it, or B, she's going to read it.
Yeah.
So it almost means you have to completely avoid all that. But the rules are true. They're just rules of human nature that most guys just don't understand. Most women don't understand them.
Yeah. I mean, every time that we talked about the book on air, there are loads of blokes texting in going, stop giving out the rules!
I know, exactly.
You're ruining it for us!
No, it's funny because I got an option for a movie, and normally you'd think the readers would be excited it's going to be a movie, and I get all this hate mail saying, please don't make this into a movie and ruin it for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too many people want to know. But obviously, it's a best-selling book, so a lot of people know. But a lot of girls haven't read it, I guess.
And the truth is, if you do it right, they're just universal principles of human nature that will not change. So in other words, I know Dan went out and was peacocking, right? Mm. Doing something to stand out and look different from other guys. Yeah. Well, if you always wear like a feather boa and a big hat, which you probably wore, right? Yeah. You know, you're just going to look, people are going to catch on to you, but there are other ways to stand out. The idea is just looking different than the other guys. And if you're wearing something that stands out, then a girl's going to approach you and talk about something instead of trying to blend in and look generic like every other guy.
Yeah. Okay. So using these techniques, you can pretty much have anyone you want.
Anyone you want who is not in a committed, loving relationship. They may be in a relationship, but if they're not in a committed, loving one, you at least have, you know, a great odds.
So if you weren't in a relationship now, by the end of this interview, could you have had Becky?
I don't know. Are you in a committed, loving relationship?
Yes.
Then no. Are you really or no?
Yes, no,
good.
I am. Yeah.
Great.
No.
That's awesome.
But Chris keeps saying to me that even though I am, you could have me. He's such a fan of your work.
That's great.
And he keeps saying to me, don't fight what your body feels. If you fancy him, you just have to go with it. I'm like,
You know, go ahead.
You could interview me in 10 minutes.
I don't want to let Chris down, but here's the thing, I really think this is true about cheating, that a guy just naturally has that desire to cheat, but a woman, if there's something that's not fulfilling in her relationship, she will sleep with you faster than a woman who's not in a relationship will. But if she's completely fulfilled, that's the almost impossible thing. So you'd really have to use a real game. You have to like call her up, make her think her boyfriend's cheating, you know. And then it would be kind of a revenge thing.
Oh my God. Are girls wary of you since you wrote this book?
But here's the weirdest thing. You would think they'd be wary of me, but they're more interested and intrigued. You would not believe the emails I get. You would think they would be like, this guy's poison, stay away. But for some reason, it's like the moth and the flame. You get these emails. So they get nervous once they really want to meet you and talk to you. Then they get a little nervous because they don't want to be just like another, you know, just someone else. But I talk to rock stars about this when I've interviewed them, because that was my past, was interviewing people for Rolling Stone and stuff. And they said the same thing. They say and you wouldn't think that a rock star would go through this, because I get a lot of rock stars who want advice from me. So Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins, for example. I probably shouldn't have said his name, but anyway, it's okay.
It's all fine.
He's over in Chicago.
Yeah.
So he said he'd get a girl up to his room, and as soon as she got up there, even though she wanted to sleep with him, she'd say, oh, I'm just like all those other girls. I'm just a groupie. And he'd have to go, and this is just like the game, pretend like he didn't want to sleep with her in order to finally get her to sleep with him.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
Becky, you weren't convinced when we talked about it on the show, were you?
No, not at all. But then one of the negs, you use these things called negs, which is basically like a kind of backhand, it's an insult basically,
right.
Isn't it?
I've got a couple of them here.
Well, not really, but go ahead, make your point.
Yeah, so basically I was saying, oh yeah, that would never work. And then one of them came out about having man hands. I was like, oh no, that's what my first ever boyfriend said to me.
Yeah, it's strange, and it's not about like kind of going out, and I feel like this has been totally misinterpreted. I don't want to send the legion of men out there insulting women in bars.
It's
and
not a full-on insult, is it? It's a kind of, oh, like,
It's like, was
nice.
That a compliment or an insult? You're like, I love that dress. I just saw someone in it and I thought it was great. You know, you're saying a nice thing, but they're like, is that nice or is that not? Now they don't know. And what you're trying to do is, because as soon as a guy walks up to a girl, the first thing she thinks is, this guy's hitting on me.
Yeah.
So the point of it is to actively demonstrate to her and her friends, because if she's a beautiful woman, her friends are also going to protect her, that you're not hitting on her. By saying something that proves you're not hitting on her, they're like, okay, we can relax around
like
here.
This.
You kind of have man hands.
Or,
is that a wig? Oh, well. It looks nice anyway.
You see, it's not really a horrible thing.
Right. That last one was a little harsh.
Yeah. Now, we got Smooth Talking Down, as we mentioned earlier, to try out some of your techniques from the game.
Oh, God.
Could you let us know where he's going right and wrong here, please?
Okay.
Now, so we're in a bar, okay? Dan is wearing a hat, isn't he?
Yes.
He's wearing a hat. And, well, you can set it up, Chris, see what happens.
Yeah, so what we did set him up with my mate.
Right.
But he didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's a girl that we planted.
Yeah, okay. So she was sitting up by the bar, and he went over, and we used the game.
Looks like the party's over here. You've got quite manly hands, actually, but... No, it's fine.
So he started off with, looks like the party's over here, you've got quite manly hands.
Right. So my first thoughts are, it didn't sound like there was a party going on at all. It sounded like there's a girl who's alone.
It was half 11
and
in the morning, and they were the only two people in the pub.
Exactly. So I'll tell you the two places he went wrong, which are the two lines that he did right, because you have to understand the reason why you're saying them before you say them. So the reason you're approaching with a regular conversational starter that makes them think that it's not a pickup line. You're just talking to someone because they happen to be here. So if there's people having fun, you just, hey, looks like the party's over here. But if they're like, there's a girl sitting there bored in a bar alone at 11 a.m.
The party's over over here. Really not.
Parties over here. It's just like a bad, it becomes a bad pickup line. And then the second one is, and then it was really kind of forced and awkward, the whole like, you look like, so if you walk over and you lie to them, pretend like the party's over here, and then instead of insult their hands, it's sort of a, but it's funny. Let's keep it here.
Okay.
So, do you know some magic?
Some magic?
Yeah, do you know any, I know some magic. Do you want to hear a magic trick?
Okay.
I might have to just whisper into her ear, actually. Hang on. Can I just whisper you a number? I'll just whisper you a number, okay? Okay.
So he's whispering the barmaid a number.
Think of a number between 1 and 10.
8.
She said 8. I knew that was a possibility. All right, I thought you were going to say 7. Normally say 7. Don't worry about that.
Okay, that didn't go so well.
Okay,
that
was his magic trick. Okay, I made like 15 minutes here to describe what went wrong. So first of all, there's the whole point of the game is guys are desperate and needy, and you can't be desperate and needy.
Mm.
So it's cool to do interesting things, but he came across in a desperate, needy way. Yeah. Hey, can I show you a magic trick to impress you? It's like, I'm a guy with some tricks. I've come here to impress you, right? So the whole idea is, A, you never call it a trick because you're already tricking someone. It's more interesting if you're you have to approach someone from, God, man, I got to keep this short because there's so many things he did wrong. You got to... sorry, Dan. Dan's laughing in the background there. But you gotta approach someone from a sense of curiosity. You're not doing it to impress them. You're doing it because you're intrigued. You say, you know what? Let me ask you something. Do you think ESP is real? Because my mate and I were having a discussion about it. So you're just, and she's like, I don't know. And you're like, I don't know either. But I'll try something because he was teaching me something about how to sort of do this. And number one important thing is as soon as you start talking to a girl, we can all feel what that girl's thinking. She's thinking, if she was a real girl, she would be thinking, how do I get rid of this guy who's approached me? So number one thing, and you know this, right?
Yes.
And number one thing is you got to give yourself a time constraint as soon as you walk up to the girl. You got to say, I can only hang out for a second because I'm with my friends over there. And instantly, you know Becky, right? You're going to relax and be like, okay, I'll listen to this guy for a couple
seconds. Oh, she gets you relaxed.
Right. Because the first thing you think when a guy walks up is, how do I get rid of him?
Yeah. Yes.
Right? And then the second thing you didn't do, and these are the two keys, and I'm giving it away right now, is the root. You have to give them a reason why you're approaching them right now. Otherwise, you're just a guy with a pickup line. So
give me an example.
I'll give you an example. If you had walked up and said, I was just talking with my friends, and they were trying to say that ESP was real, I said, I didn't know, and so we thought we'd just try out a quick test. So you just happen to be there. It's a conversation happening in the moment. You're not approaching her because she's a girl. You're just approaching her because she happens to be there. Right. And by the way, when you got to make it fun. If you wanted someone to say 7, because they usually pick 7, you got to rush them. Say 1 to 10 quick, first thing that comes to your head. And because he whispered it to the barmaid, he could have said, yeah, I guessed 8, and maybe she would have played along, right?
Yeah.
I could keep going. Go ahead.
Let's just do one more. Oh, this is where Dan is waiting for her to kind of say something. It's awkward, this bit.
It's more awkward.
You thinking so, or no, you've not said so yet?
Awkward.
That's the bit, isn't it, where if you deliberately leave a silence, and then if she starts talking first and starts with so, you're saying that that's a
sign of her
being interested.
Yeah, an indicator of interest, which is once you feel like she already may be interested, which clearly hasn't happened here yet.
No.
You know, you start, there are a few signs you look for. So if you stop talking and she says so and continues the conversation, that's one sign. Another thing, and you don't want to do it this early because right now he's just kind of flailing and trying to capture her interest.
Right.
I think he flailed the most when he said, right, let me think of some more negs.
Yeah.
Thinking out loud too much. He's basically reciting the book to her.
Well, I think basically he memorized 3 lines and then he just threw them out there and now he's kind of out of material. Yeah. But another great little sign too is if you take someone's hand and you lead them across a room, and this one's really great, is you see if they squeeze your hand back. If they just leave their hand flat, they're not interested. If you let go of their hand as you're leading them across a room or a crowded floor, they're still holding on to your hand. That's a sign. But you generally need 3 IOIs, because one could be just be a coincidence. Maybe they're just being polite and they say so. So you need 3 to know they're interested.
3 definite ones.
20, yeah. Eventually, you just learn it intuitively. Most guys who are naturals, who are listening, who are already good with women, they're like, you know, I don't need this. But for guys like myself, you know, and Dan, we had to learn it, you know, like we learn, you know, engineering or something in school. It's for guys
like us. He did learn the hand squeezing thing, but in that pub incident, he just went, shall we squeeze hands now?
Oh, God.
And I think she just went, Okay. He's like, oh, I thought we could do some hand squeezing.
Yeah, number one goal is don't make them uncomfortable, which we've clearly failed in.
Okay, Neil Strauss is with us, who wrote The Game. Lots of blokes are texting in and going, stop giving up the rules. But lots of people, as I said, are going, legend! Right, we'll speak more in a minute. Podcast. Neil Strauss is here. He wrote The Game. And he's got a new book out as well called Everyone Loves You When You're Dead. What's that about?
That was all the kind of best moments of the celebrity interviews I've done. And what's funny, and I was just talking with Dan about this, is that once I learned The Game, my interviews for Rolling Stone became 100 times better because I would use this stuff on Madonna or Britney Spears to get them to open up to me.
What? So you employed the techniques from The Game when you were doing celebrity interviews as a journalist?
And it was amazing. And I really did it to get somebody because they do a million interviews. Do you know the Britney Spears story?
No, tell me, please.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Is this where you got Britney Spears' number?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Rewind. Okay. So you were a music journalist? Or?
Right, yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, so you did loads of interviews. And the thing is with pop stars, and we see it a lot at Radio 1 as well, they've probably done like 5 or 6 other interviews that day and probably got asked the same questions a lot of the time.
Right.
So what did you do different?
So I would do exactly what Dan tried to do in that excerpt, which is they're bored of talking about themselves. And when I was interviewing Britney Spears, for example, I was just getting one-word answers, yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought this game has worked on everyone. Why don't I try it? And I did the 1 through. I said, you know what? Let me ask you something. I did the ESP thing. I did the 1 through 10 thing, and she guessed the number. And then I had her do one where I tried to show her that she was psychic. And it was sort of a trick. And she got so excited, she jumped off the couch she was on. Like, looked at herself in the mirror. She's like, oh my god, I can't believe I just did this. She sat down. She's like, this has been the best interview of my life. She stopped the tape deck, talked to me about like her whole life, issues she was having with her parents. We restarted, did the interview, and at the end she goes, you know, if it's okay, I'd like to exchange phone numbers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And believe it or not, it was so weird that I never called her after, but about 9 months to a year later, she actually called me and had me come over to her. This was after The Game came out. She had me come over to her house. I didn't know if she was mad about the book, what was going on. And then it turned out she's like, oh, you know, I found out later you're this writer and I want you to write my book and all this stuff. It was a very odd experience.
Wow. Yeah. So you went to Britney Spears' house?
Yeah. She was living in like Malibu at the time. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
She was pregnant at the time. Was pregnant. Yeah.
And she wanted you to write her book?
Yeah. Yeah. And then she started, she had kept all these notes about, you know, and again, it's okay to say this, I think, because it's been out, about like cheating on Justin Timberlake and sexually acting out on all these things. Was really, there was sort of sweetness to her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me about making Lady Gaga cry, please.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, and by the way, here's something crazy to tie it to The Game. So she started talking to me about The Game, and she's used The Game as a woman.
Gaga's used The Game.
Yes. And here's how she's used it. what are you looking at there?
This is incredible.
You're getting excited. So she uses this technique called the freeze out. She said, when I'd be with guys and they wouldn't put out, she'd say, I'd start checking my phone and ignoring them. And all of a sudden, they'd start paying attention to me. And she quoted the technique and used it. So it's pretty amazing. Okay. And so she started crying because she started talking about her ex, who she's now with again. And because I have this whole theory that I really thought her persona was developed by this heartbreak because she was dating that East Village New York drummer guy. And she started talking about him, just kind of burst into tears over this guy, even though the wounds were from so long ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You have some kind of weird power.
Yes.
Are you seducing any of us in this room right now? We're not aware of it.
I'm seducing all of you right now.
Are you?
Yes. I think he seduced Chris. Chris is in love with him.
I know.
I know. Okay. It's funny because you wrote this book to meet girls and instead at your book signings there's like 200 guys.
Yeah. Okay. And this is all in the book, obviously. You went to church with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and by the way, I did the game on Tom Cruise because not to whatever you would think Tom Cruise would be doing, but I did it again to get to open up and get to know him better.
Okay.
And part of the thing now when you do an interview is you want to spend more time with the person. And I was so curious about Scientology, so I told him I would want to know about Scientology. And we were somewhere, we were learning to ride motorcycles. And he took me to the Church of Scientology, to the Celebrity Center. We went around the whole place. We watched them train on those little e-meters they use. And his mom was there. And this was really weird. His mom was taking Scientology courses to become a Scientologist, even though she was still a Catholic.
Uh-huh.
The whole world was really weird.
So you ended up going to church with Tom Cruise, and not only Tom Cruise, but his mom as well.
Yeah, and his mom and his sister.
You've had a really interesting life.
I try to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my biggest fear, is being bored.
Oh, then was the hot tub incident with Marilyn Manson.
This was a great hot tub incident with Marilyn Manson.
This is brilliant.
Yeah. I was interviewing for Rolling Stone, and he had just The previous night, he'd had this wild night out with Billy Corgan where he made Billy Corgan snort sea monkeys.
Okay, good.
And there are a few other things which I probably shouldn't say because you have a younger audience.
Yeah, don't say that.
Okay. So, and then the next day we were on a Holiday Inn, I think it was earlier in his career, where he wasn't staying the Four Seasons or what have you, and kind of did this interview in the hot tub. But I later found out, because I ended up doing a book with him, that it was a complete manipulation. So the game can be played the other way around, which is he knew if he got the Rolling Stone reporter in a hot tub, that would make his first cover story in Rolling Stone a really funny, memorable, great story. So there was an element of, even though it seemed natural, it seemed like a coup for me, it was him smartly manipulating the writer in the story.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah.
What's the most kind of bizarre situation you found yourself in with a celebrity?
Oh man, there's so many.
I mean, we've mentioned quite a few.
Yeah, I remember. Like, there's so many. I mean, some have tried to have me arrested. Some I thought would die. The first one that comes to mind was, and it isn't that bizarre. I just remember the first moment I met Motley Crue, and this has told me everything about them, which is they were getting arrested the moment I went backstage. But here's the great moment.
This is a rock band, Motley Crue, and they were getting arrested.
They're getting arrested. So Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx are getting held away in handcuffs. Mm-hmm. And the singer, Vince Neil, is blow-drying his hair the entire time, not even batting an eyelid. It shows you how often these guys are arrested.
Okay. So it was like not really thinking it was a big deal.
It was not a big deal. Some fans came up and tried to get them autographed albums while they're being led away in handcuffs.
Oh, dear. You feeling anything, Becky? You all right?
No, I'm fine. No. He's a nice guy.
Someone says, oh my God, this guy's amazing. Is it wrong that I want him to come over and chat to me right now? Well, there we are. You see, it's
exactly,
working.
Exactly. I told you it's the male. It's the males always.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for coming in today. It's been a really interesting chat. Chris is, he's met his hero today.
Yeah, but really. I hear Chris is taken now.
Yeah, he's taken.
Oh, we did not want to say that to all the listeners, just in case.
No, they're fan mails. Yeah, it's all good. Did you didn't use the game in that situation, did you?
A little bit.
Oh, God. Okay.
With respect.
Okay, good. Neil Strauss, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you very much.
I'll give you the phone number later.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Podcast.
You love it. And it's back. No, not that. That was wrong. Don't call.
Yeah.
Okay, are we ready for Innuendo Bingo the Jewel?
Yes, there's a slight extra noisy version today because instead of protective sheeting, I could only find a roll of bubble wrap. So if you hear that, okay. That's the bubble wrap.
All good.
I've got a protective bubble wrap apron. Chris's normal's got nothing.
Okay, so Becky is fully protected up and Chris is just in his jumper and jeans that he came to Radio 1 with today. You can watch this now, please, on the live webcam, bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. Just go to the homepage and you'll find it there.
Two people, two cups of water, one bin. All new Innuendo Bingo, the Jewel.
So, the deal is, this is all new clips of Innuendo.
Chris just pulled a cowboy hat out of the Innuendo Bingo bin.
What's that bin being used for? Have people been using it as an actual bin?
It looks pretty foul today, actually.
It stinks.
Ooh. What?
Okay, so, you know how this is, peoples. Becky and Chris have some water. They take a big mouthful, and then I play them a clip of Innuendo from various radio and TV shows. And then we see who spits out the water first.
I'm worried Becky's going to be sick.
That hat smelt of... We.
Okay.
I took a big
Can
sniff.
Can I move away?
Move away from the bin at your peril.
I just worried. All right.
I was okay, I'm okay.
Okay.
Right, I'm ready.
Okay, take a deep breath, everybody.
Oh, I've missed this.
I know, I've
Did
missed
you play this on holiday?
Yeah, just in the car sometimes.
Did you?
Yeah.
I haven't missed this.
In the car? That's dangerous.
I wasn't driving. Okay. So, are we ready for Innuendo Bingo the Jewel? Watch this. At home now on bbc.co.uk/radio1. So, first of all, could we take a big gulp of water
she's
each,
gonna go. She's
please.
Gonna go. I know she's gonna go.
How right. many times does this happen?
I just swallow it.
Come on.
Don't spit on me, whatever you do.
Well, she's gonna. Take the water in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now let's go over to MasterChef.
But the thing that I would really like to ask you about is your balls. I was fascinated by the balls. What were they?
Did both of you go there?
Mm.
Oh. No one's that wet, though.
No, I actually managed to avoid that.
But
good.
The thing that I would really like to ask you about is your balls. I was fascinated by the balls. What were they?
Okay. All right. Next
next sip of water, please. Not a sip, a big mouthful. Gulp it. Got it? Mm. And now here's Fern Cotton.
He nearly put his finger in my Prince William face cake.
You alright, Chris?
Great.
Oh, you're wet.
It's because he leans so far over the bin, I've got no choice.
He nearly put his finger in my Prince William face cake.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Chris, look at your hair. It's merging in with the wet look gel. Okay. More right. Water, please. Mm. Let me know if you're watching this at home, please.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see who spits. Let's go over to Eggheads.
All the eggheads are there, so this is the last chance to knock one out.
Oh, it's carnage now. Oh, Chris has got the...
It's cold. Because we've got a water machine that chills it to, like, almost ice. Chris gets the shivers.
I can't even retaliate. She's wearing bubble wrap.
Oh, I've missed this. Okay.
There's not more.
Yes, there is. There's quite a few more. Okay.
Are you all right, Chris? I haven't put, like, any of these shivers on my form.
It's fine. Okay. You'll be fine. Mm. And now, got water? Yeah. Let's go over to BBC Breakfast.
Also this morning, we have Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg coming on the sofa.
Oh, no. This has gone too far. I'm going out after this. Looks like I've wet myself.
It does. It looks like you're really sweating on your face, and it looks like you've actually weed yourself.
New jeans.
Ah, there's a massive patch.
New jeans.
New jeans, please. We should get just a pair of jeans that you could change into, because we haven't thought this through.
It's like being back in year two. Yep. I need a spare pair of clothes.
Did okay. You play this at school?
And now, more water, please.
How many clips have you got?
Quite a
this
few.
Has to stop soon.
More water. Oh, he's actually shaking. Let's go over to the Animal's Guide to Britain.
It's my first British beaver.
Is it?
My first British beaver.
I'm so glad you
did. I never thought I'd see it.
Really?
Wow, I've lived through years of
not seeing it.
Of delay, hesitancy, yeah. Bickering. But now it's actually happening. I can't tell you, I was so excited.
What happened there? That kind of happened halfway through, didn't it?
Oh, I just can't keep it in with any of these.
All right. Okay,
And we've got one more. One more. Little gulp of water there, please. Hi, Holly from Keighley, who's watching it. Thinks it's actually funnier watching it than listening to it. I'm watching at home. That's Tom in Carlisle. Watching The Duel and loving it, says Johnny. In Thailand? What's funny about...
What was that for?
What is that?
I was just impressed.
Oh, you can't...
You can't blow over Thailand.
No, I was impressed that he's listening so far away, and it obviously provokes impressiveness, obviously provokes the same reaction in me.
Okay, more water, please. I've got one more here. Oh. Okay. And now... Stop it. And now let's go over... Ready? Let's go over to the Great British Menu.
And Lisa is steaming her cockles in white wine and herbs before stuffing them into her whole trout.
Oh no, Chris! Oh no! Actually dripping.
This has been worse than ever.
Ah, let us know if you enjoyed that on the text on 8199. That was two people, two cups of water, one bin, innuendo bingo, the jewel. Thanks for watching and listening, everyone.
And Lisa is steaming her cockles in white wine and herbs before stuffing them into her whole trout.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.